I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's program will be jam-packed with information as usual, so you will definitely need a paper and pen or pencil to write down things that you'd like to follow up on after the program. And we'll be talking about the Essenes, we'll be talking about cutting-edge technology, we'll be talking about the present and the past, we'll be talking about secret space program. Lots of cutting-edge science for sure, and there'll be some definitely information relating to some interesting techniques that you can do. But before we get into all that, and probably a lot more, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga. That's J-A-P-A, and that's mantra repetition. It always sets the tone for the ET Yoga program, and that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers. A little bit of Japa Yoga, a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish the listening audience of ET Yoga a very Merry Christmas, as the next ET Yoga show will not come on until the 28th of the month, which will be after Christmas. So my thanks and appreciation and gratitude to the yoga audience for just being you. And as Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference just by being you, and other people find out about that fact when you're doing your passion. And on tonight's program, there'll be just so much information coming your way and different things to follow up on that it'll seem sometimes like it's going too fast, like bing, bang, boom, all the information coming at you. So if it's going too fast, you can always listen to the archive of the program for free, no strings attached. You go to my website, etyoga.com, and on the main page, there's an archive button. It says Radio Archives, big button there. You just hit that, and it'll take you right to the most recent 10 programs. It'll go back since the history of the whole program. But if you look for the date today of December the 14th, that will probably be in the archives by Monday. So if you're listening to the show tonight and you're finding some information went too fast, you couldn't quite hear me or whatever, you can always listen to the program at your leisure. I'd like to also say that I much appreciate hearing from the ET Yoga audience, particularly concerning program content, and also nothing makes my day more than hearing about successes that you have utilizing the information that's presented on this program. And it may be a technique, an idea, a concept, but nothing is more pleasurable than hearing about your successes. And so you can always email me at paperfungo, that's PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca, or green, GREEN, at etyoga.com. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to this program, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And that's in keeping with the whole concept of creating your own excellent health and maintaining it and dealing with issues as they arise. And for my money, the only use I have of mainstream medical would be for emergency only. So I pass that on. I'd like to, at this time, talk a little bit about some of the information I gave on the last ET Yoga program that I wanted to update the listeners about. First off, I mentioned William Thompson. It's actually William Tompkins. That's T-O-M-K-I-N-S. He is a Navy admiral, has lots of information about extraterrestrials as well as the technologies that the Nazis had after World War II. They had UFO technology. He's a great source of information, and you can find some videos at Project Camelot with William Tompkins. And also, if you go to rense.com, that's R-E-N-S-E.com, and on his main page, scroll down on the right side, and you'll find lots of links to interviews that Jeff Rense has done with William Tompkins. and that will give you a really clear idea of the kind of technology that's been around for about 70 years that's been hidden from the public. And also, I mentioned Simon Parkes, P-A-R-K-E-S. He is involved with Connecting Consciousness. That's the name of his organization. And he does a YouTube on, I guess, the first and third Sundays of each month. I'm going to give you a couple of dates here to check out. One is in 2019, 12/01, and 2019, 11/19. Those two programs in particular. He does give his answers to questions relating to the compromise of the reincarnation grid. And he doesn't go into detail about how to avoid the issues there. I will be talking about that a little bit, I think, later in the program. But I wanted to give those two program dates. And also, with respect to Admiral Byrd's, another Navy man who was involved with Operation High Jump, there's an article on YouTube. It's called Antarctic Anunnaki Found, UFO and Operation High Jump, Alien Technology. And that's on YouTube. And it is... it's mind-boggling stuff about his voyage down to Antarctica. And I also want to mention that I noticed that Carrie Cassidy is going to be going to Romania in May, and she's going to be going to the Busege, that's B-U-C-E-G-E, Busege Mountains, which is... not far north of Brasov, Romania, and specifically because she's interested in the underground UFO base that has been found there under the in the mountains, underneath the rock sphinx in Busege, Romania. And for those of you who are, like to read books, there's... several books out on that subject. The two most important, I believe, are Transylvania Sunrise and Transylvania Moonrise. There's also one called The Secret Parchment. And I've read those three books, and I am 100% believer in the find that was made over there and some of the claims. Of course, when you go over there, you're not going to be able to have access to the ET base. You can actually take a cable car right to the Rock Sphinx, and I have. I've been there and done that. And I also had a friend of mine give me a photo of U.S. military in that area because the base is not far from the Sphinx. Where this extraterrestrial base had been located. And inside it, among other technologies, was a 50-year holographic history of the Earth. And, of course, that information's all been suppressed, except for it's been leaked. Some of this information is leaked out in the books. And... generally speaking, it turns out that about 90% of history, as we've been taught, is bogus, and most of the myths turn out to be true. Of course, the Vatican got involved in there, as well as some other powerful countries, to suppress this information from being made public. And I was even over there when there was a local news cast reporting on it, and they got threatened right on the air. So it's a big no-no to get too much information out there to the public, and especially when that information sheds light on Earth history and also the truths about religion, among other topics that the powers that be don't want people to know about. And, of course, another area that they don't want people to know about is our extraterrestrial heritage. And on last program, Messenger from the Sixth Dimension is a book that's coming out by Adranus. It's currently in Japanese, and it talks about six beings who came from the Lyra constellation, and specifically Vega star system. And the six beings, according to Adranus, were they actually came here in an asteroid called Oumuamua. Well, an asteroid looking, but it was actually a craft. And according to Adranus, the secret space program has docked on that vehicle and taken six beings from it, which are actually related to us DNA-wise and all originally coming from the Lyra Vega star system. And as I've said for about the last 10 years on ET Yoga, that's our ET Yoga, that's our ET heritage, humans. We're definitely created in the Lyra Vega star system. And a couple of places you can look for more information concerning that is Sal Rachelle. That's S-A-L-R-A-C-H-E-L-E, Sal Rachelle homepage. And if you do a search engine for that and go to his homepage, you'll find that he does some channelings of Arcturians. And he also has very detailed Earth history that he channels from what he calls a group of creator gods called the Founders. And I've also heard Alex Collier, an Andromedan contactee, talk about a group that he calls the Patal. They may be connected. Definitely, the original Founders have disappeared from the physical universe. And but in this Earth history, if you want to go to it, it talks about some of the specifics of the creation, actually, of humanoid forms that originally were created from seventh density. And so that's one source of information. And then the only other real, I guess, information that's out there comes from the source that talks about, that's Jalayla Starr and the Nairobian Council. And she indicates that according to their history, there were two groups of beings that Prime Creator brought to this universe from another universe called the Felines and the Carrions. And a number of those were brought to this universe, and it, according to them, and I haven't been able to verify this through any other extraterrestrial group, but according to them, the humans were created from the mix of a primate and carrion, no, and feline, and the reptilians were created from the carrions and another different primate. So kind of interesting if you want to go back into, but definitely all the other extraterrestrial groups all do point to, including the Pleiadians, Sirians, Andromedans, point to the Lyra Vega star system as our original heritage. And that heritage, by the way, includes us being created to have a 12-strand DNA and 12-chakra system. Now, if you the powers that be would like us all to believe the Sumerian tablets and the Zachariah Sitchin discovery to make us believe that they created us. They didn't create us. What they did was manipulate our DNA. And they so manipulated us that, for the most part, we have a two-stranded DNA. And for the most of the population, functions with three chakras. And since that time, we've also been exposed to a frequency fence and being controlled by frequencies that have been broadcast from from Saturn via the moon to the Earth, which keeps us stuck basically in two-strand DNA. So the bottom line here is that in a way, the Anunnaki created the modern version, let's say, of Homo sapien, and we were definitely utilized to mine gold, and this gold was used to not as a monetary instrument, but to melt down the gold into white powder gold, and many of the pharaohs have been found with caskets of this white powder gold called monatomic elements. And monatomic elements were also rediscovered by a guy named David Hudson, and you can go on YouTube and find interviews, especially lectures 1, 2, and 3 by David Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N. And the big secret that the Anunnaki did not want us to know was why we were mining the gold, because this monatomics has connections with longevity as well as health issues, because it cures any DNA issue. And that's another one that powers that be don't want to let out of the bag, because we have all the information we need to cure anything that's DNA related. So, and there have been experiments done with monatomics and extreme forms of cancer, et cetera, and they've been successful. So it's a very interesting subject. According to Bashar, the Anunnaki were having problems, actually, with some of their longevity was getting less. And so what they did was they found that this white powder gold would rectify that. And, of course, this is one of the advantages the Anunnaki have over humans at the moment, is that they can live for thousands of years. And I guess they're depending on the species and strain and what kind of quantities, et cetera, they're taking of monatomics, it's definitely connected to longevity. So I wanted to pass on that Carrie Cassie's going over there. It should be interesting to see what kind of new developments she's come up. A guy named Peter Moon actually publishes books. Radu Sinemar and Caesar are in this, the character Caesar, which may be a pseudonym, but anyway, to protect the innocent here. But definitely there are tunnels that lead from the Busedge Mountains to the Giza Plateau, where the other Sphinx is. And coincidentally, according to Bashar, the Hall of Records have been discovered under there as well. That was about, at least 5 years ago. He thought that within a couple of years that information would be released to the public, but apparently, obviously, not. And then, again, that's another one of those things that goes back about 50,000 years with the Earth history, the Hall of Records. Not to mention what's going on in the Antarctic right now, which I don't know that much about, but I do know it's big. I do know that it will definitely be suppressed, as most everything else is. And I guess one of the reasons that nobody really wants to talk about, but the fact is that why is all this information being suppressed, especially if it has to do with ancient technology or anything to do with extraterrestrials, is because they don't want the truth out that this planet's actually a prison planet. And we come here, and we are controlled by extraterrestrials. And if you haven't figured that out yet, there's a big news flash for you. Because at the top of the chain here is definitely E.T. And also at this point in time, I guess because there's too many people kind of busting out of the mainstream thinking, the Anunnaki are turning over, and Alpha Draconians are turning over some of the control of humanity to AI, so that we will then be electronically controlled. And, of course, most people are falling right into this pit of tyranny with their addictions to their technologies, so that it's not that us using the technology, it's the technology is using us. And one of the most recent discoveries that Google apparently has come up with is during the last election in 2016, according to the video I witnessed, they believe, influence about 540,000 people to vote that normally wouldn't. Of course, in that particular video, they didn't mention that that 540,000 people were all Democrats that didn't vote, that they got them to vote. And what they learned was that they can influence public elections without the public being aware of it. So, and the bottom line is that this technology, you know, any billionaire could buy this technology. So what people don't seem to realize is that all this, you know, information that's being gathered, if you start looking at what's going on in some cities in China right now, they're having everything's run off their iPhone, their bank account's connected to it, everything they say, do, think, well, it's pretty much the same thing here, but they're even a little bit more advanced. In some of the cities, they virtually don't use money. They pretty much have everybody under total surveillance 24/7, and there's clearly issues there of control, because they're using a social credit system so that if you happen to not be have a high enough score, you wouldn't even be allowed to get on public transit, for example. So it just goes to show you where this the 5G rollout and AI technology is headed. It's headed towards total electronic tyranny. And I like to also mention that in North America right now, the GMOs are having a devastating effect on health. It's causing infertility and depression. And in case you haven't heard, about 65% of Americans are taking depression pills. And according to the Pleiadians, it also destroys the immune system, which is why about 40 countries have banned GMO'd foods. I have friends that come to America now. They're just disgusted at the food here. And, of course, we wouldn't know because it's we're kind of used to it. But personally, I try not to ingest GMO'd foods. It's virtually impossible. But if you're eating a lot of it, and about 90% of the potatoes, corn, soy that's in North America is all GMO'd. If you're eating out at a restaurant, you're eating GMO'd foods. So figure it out. I mean, about they're saying now that 75% of 18 to 24-year-olds couldn't pass an Army physical. 54% of young people have some chronic disease that'll never be cured. And our longevity is third world already, and the health in America, right as I'm speaking, is last in the world, last. The general health, and the longevity is sinking like a rock in water. So if you want to be part of those statistics, keep eating your GMO'd foods, get addicted to the technology. Drink the fluoridated water, so it'll calcify your pineal gland and your heart, and you too can be part of the statistic of what's happening, which is a disgrace in North America. And a lot of this is also related to Big Pharma, which 300,000 people a year die from prescription drugs. I'd like to turn now to attention a little bit to some really fascinating information related to the Essenes, because the Essenes keep popping up all the time. They had a yoga system back 2,000 years ago that's very similar to the yoga system that's taught by Sri Swami Sachidananda called Integral Yoga, except they had one other branch added called Laya Yoga, which was the study of the chakra system. And they definitely knew about the concept of self-realization. And according to some sources, they've actually many of them came from Atlantis, and Thoth actually led some of them to Egypt. And after reading about the Essenes, what struck me was that here we are in the 21st century, and we think we're so cool and smart with all our little gadgets and stuff. Well, this ancient intentional community that must have looked primitive to the outsiders knew how to connect with their higher self, to project their consciousness to any event space, to know about our solar system, and to heal themselves energetically. And while they did use some outer technologies given to them, they didn't know how they were made or how to fix them, so they didn't become attached or too dependent on them. Why? Because they knew that inner technology with their human form was far superior to any gadget or invention, whether it's a self-driving car, a rocket to Mars, or a quantum computer. And my hat's off to the Essenes, who also, by the way, passed on to us the ultimate truths of reality. I'm not going to go into those tonight. I do give that list of about 21, which were kept in the mystery schools for about 2,000 years. The Essenes also are connected with the Dead Sea Scrolls. So amazing stuff from the Essenes. Also, an interesting topic that I did briefly mention last week was about the present and the past. And I'd like to amplify on that a little bit, that the present is not the result of the past. The present is the result of the present. And creation occurs in the present. And the present is the normal, but is actually optional. If you suddenly make a discrete shift in beliefs, you will experience a sudden discrete shift in your now reality. The present is the now result of what you now believe to be most true for you. The past has absolutely no effect on the present, except to the extent that you believe it does. As you change your present by changing your present beliefs, you are shifting into a different parallel reality, and that different parallel reality has its own future and past. Said another way, when you change your present, you are likewise also changing your past and your future. That is, you are shifting to a totally different hologram, which contains its own past that is consistent with its present and also its own future, which is likewise consistent with its present. You create the past and the future from the here and now. Continuity is an illusion, just like the continuity in movies is an illusion, since it's really 24 different pictures per second. Therefore, the continuity is optimal. The past progressively leads to the present, but it does not cause the present. And just as movies can suddenly shift from one scene to a totally different scene, likewise, you can too, since continuity is not necessary. Only the present is real. Therefore, only the present can create the present. If you insist on believing that the present is the result of the past, then you're now dragging the past into the present and now projecting that this seeming past has an effect on the present. Notice, by the way, that all this dragging the past into the present is also occurring only in the present. This is like dragging an anchor around rather than simply letting go of the anchor, the past, and living freely and easily in the present. Be free of the past and live joyously in the present. I'd also like to now share some information concerning the Merkaba and the Merkaba field, because there is a star tetrahedron field around anything, not just our bodies. The word Mer denotes counter-rotating fields of light. Ka is spirit and Ba is body or reality. So the Merkaba, then, is a counter-rotating field of light that encompasses both spirit and body, and it's a vehicle, a time-space vehicle. It's far more than just that. In fact, there isn't anything that it isn't. It is the image through which all things were created, and that image is around your body in a geometrical set of patterns. That image begins at the base of your spine, as small as the original 8 cells from which our physical bodies first formed. It moves out from there, first forming a star tetrahedron, then a cube out at your hands, then a sphere, then back-to-back pyramids known as an octahedron, then an icosahedron, and then a dodecahedron. And the field extends out a full 50 to 60 feet in diameter and looks like a flying saucer. And every so often on ET Yoga, I do give a Merkaba technique, and one that I think is the most highly effective one to do. I'd also like to share with you some information from Kirk Nielsen related to beliefs, because ET Yoga is all about, at its core, it's about self-realization. And the reason that I give information about health and other things is because I want the ET Yoga audience to be able to make wise choices concerning a lot of the pitfalls and quicksand that's out there. And if you can avoid these things, and I find that for the most part, you can avoid all of the negativity. I mean, nobody's forcing you to eat the fast foods. Nobody's forcing you to do many things, although I appreciate in California they're now forcing kids to go to public school to be vaccinated, which to me is like mandatory autism. But the bottom line here is that for the most part, a lot of the things you're not forced into. The powers that be want you to want what it is they want you to do. And what you believe is what you put out. So to change your experience is to change what you believe. And clearly in ET Yoga, self-realization is at the core, but belief is, I call ET Yoga the yoga of belief, because belief is everything. And if you have a belief, then you will choose experiences that prove to you that your belief is true. You reinforce your beliefs by choosing experiences that validate them, and then say, see, I told you so. That proves that what I believe is true. The belief came first, and then you set up the situations and circumstances that supported it. From all the possible experiences you could choose, you will choose the ones that validate your beliefs. You cannot have an experience without a belief. The key to remember is that beliefs come first, and then you choose experiences that match them. Believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. The belief that generates your experiences may be unconscious as well as conscious, which is why you may experience something that doesn't seem to be generated by something that you believe. You can transform the belief or definition that is causing you pain by simply identifying it, because negative judgments and definitions can be released the moment you realize you have them, if you believe they can. When you realize you have them and they no longer make sense to you, then believe they are gone and they will be. And that's, to me, I think, is some great advice from Kirk Nielsen, Niesen. And I'd also would like to remind people about the pineal gland, because first off, there is a product that Dr. Pete Peterson, who was once interviewed on Project Camelot, he mentioned skate fish oil, and you can purchase that. In fact, I remember David Wilcock at some of his seminars used to sell this product. It's skate liver fish oil. And it actually decalcifies the pineal gland, also decalcifies around the heart, prevents cavities, and prevents heart disease. So it's an amazing find that has been kept secret. And interesting about the pineal gland, because most people's pineal gland, because of the fluoride in their water, it gets it calcifies your pineal, and this will help decalcify the pineal gland. And thoughts must pass through the program parameter of belief after reception at the pineal gland. Your brain screens what is determined as real or unreal, believable or unbelievable, according to the light quotient programmed into the brain. The biochemicals produced are produced with acceptance ingredient or rejection ingredient, and these are allowed to open or close the gate to higher mind accordingly. These biochemicals are sent as coded neurons and are the delivery mechanism of this thought energy, containing all the codified data necessary for translating any thought or image into physical actuality or not. Thoughts that are congruent with belief move to reproduce the inner image within the brain and through each nerve fiber of the body physical. These, then, are the initial fires of gestation for forming the new reality. The next step is through clear mind intent, the force of will driven by the acceleration of emotion and feeling. This done, the physical body releases the objective in a digital code to the sublime body, the intact auric field in a semi-solid congeal light code, projected and accelerated from the chakra system. And the clarity and intensity you intend behind the thought, desire, or goal determines to a great degree the immediacy of its materialization. And so how important is our pineal glands? Really. And I wanted to share with you also a comment that was made by Greg Braden, and that is that, how does the body interpret heart-brain resonance? Well, it interprets it as healing. And to me, Greg Braden's got a video out, and it's called Heart-Brain Resonance. And it's he teaches a very simple technique. It takes you less than 10 minutes to do. And basically, you get into some deep breathing and get yourself really calm and centered. And then you touch your heart in a meaningful way. And then you emit some positive emotion, or gratitude, or compassion. And this triggers 1,300 biochemical reactions in the body and kicks your immune system into overdrive. And just from this little simple technique, the HeartMath Institute has discovered that this effect lasts for about 6 hours. So this, to me, is a great technique, and one that many people should be deploying, because, let's face it, the immune system is huge. And it also relates to some other information, because the trigger to the immune system is vitamin D. And we all know that most people in America are deficient in vitamin D because they don't get enough sunlight. And you should take all that sunscreen and throw it in the garbage and start using some natural oils like olive oil and water, or argan oil, or, you know, all these things protect you from sunburn. And if you just use common sense, if you actually do some research, which I did about the first year I was doing this program, about 12 years ago, and I discovered that sunscreens actually promote skin cancer. And if you do some research and search or Google search negative effects of sunscreens, and you'll see the specific ingredients. I don't recall them at the moment, but I came to the conclusion that I would never touch that garbage again. Same as when my students at a high school told me about the movie Super Size Me. I've never eaten a McDonald's since then either. In fact, I did an experiment with their French fries. I kept them for 3 years, and they look like the same day I bought them. In fact, if I put them on the table, somebody would want to reach them and eat them because they don't even break down. They don't turn into the bacteria doesn't even eat it. So I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't qualify as food. That's what I found with my own experimentation. Also, with relation to the Bashar's basic foundations of health, one of them is exercise. And I noticed that one of the yoga mentors, Sadhguru, S-A-D-G-U-R-U, Sadhguru, he actually stated recently that he thought about 80% of people's physical issues were due to lack of exercise. And the other 10% were to the lack of nutrients. And if you look at Bashar's list, this is an extraterrestrial talking. He's saying that the foundations of health are basically pure water with no fluoride in it, oxygenation that you can get from doing yoga pranayams, elimination of stress as much as possible, or at least working on reducing your stress. Exercise, detoxing, and turning toward a vegetarian or vegan diet, and I like to throw in sunlight. So, and according to Bashar, if you do those things and you provide your body the proper nutrients, such as the superfood as sold by Dr. Schultz at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. He's got this superfood that actually Bashar recommends first time. I've heard Bashar maybe recommend a product maybe three times in the last 20 years. Anyway, he recommends Dr. Schultz's products. And with the proper nutrients, your body is capable of healing 99.9% of all disease issues. And there was also a video by one of the guys that was supposedly connected with the secret space program who stated that they found out as well that if the body doesn't have inflammation, it's capable of curing 99.9% of all issues. And they don't like their astronauts having downtime. So the bottom line is they came up with something called alpha-2 macroglobulin, which apparently reduces or eliminates inflammation in the body. And it is actually a product that you can buy online, although most people don't know, you know, where it comes from. So the bottom line here is that there's definitely things that are under our control in the health area. The biggest problem I see in North America right now, chemtrails, the stronger your immune system, chemtrails can be irrelevant. But if you have a weak immune system, like most of the people do, then it's an issue, definitely an issue. I mean, we're being sprayed like guinea pigs and have been for about 25 or 30 years. GMO'd foods are definitely a contributor to the poor health. Vaccines are a contributor to poor health. Also, its connection to autism, clearly. If you look at 60,000 Amish children who don't take vaccines, they don't have autism. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure that out. The other thing is Big Pharma, all the side effects of all these drugs, and the cat's out of the bag on that as well. We don't need pharma, we don't even need operations. That's been proven by the Qigong Center in Beijing, China, which dealt with about 250,000 people over a 10-year period. Cancer and every other type of disease was dealt with about an 85% success rate. So the cat's out of the bag there, although the government of China has since shut down that center. It started getting too much publicity, I guess. The two, Dr. Pang and Dr. Ming-Tong Gu, have both come to America. These are the two top doctors that were at that center. I took the Qigong healing course from Ming-Tong Gu online. It cost about $280, well worth it. And coincidentally, the first thing that's in the Qigong method is you touch the heart and you say certain sounds and frequencies, which is the identical thing that Greg Braden's showing that the Heart Math Institute discovered with respect to kickstarting these 1,300 biochemical operations. And the other five areas in the Qigong healing, there's three sounds connected with each of the five areas of or energy centers. And the whole idea of Qigong is to keep the energy flowing, much like the concept behind acupuncture, to keep your system flowing. And the bottom line here is that that center proved, because they did not use any pharmaceuticals with their patients, and they even had people dying there of cancer, but they died with dignity and not in pain. And also, they did not utilize any operations. And that's also the one that you can look up. It's called Greg Braden, Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes on YouTube, which shows a woman from the West with an inoperable tumor who goes to Beijing, China, and three experienced practitioners there made her tumor dissolve in 3 minutes, which shows what is possible and the information that's kind of out there. And I was also apprised of they're using AI now with cancer. Yeah, what a load of garbage. Yeah, they're going to help. It's going to help predict your from your X-rays whether you're a candidate for cancer or not. Listen, if they really wanted to do something to deal with curing the cancer, they already have the cures, many of them, but they don't want to present them to the public. And all they needed to do is take that Alpha Zero or their self-learning computer program, their AI, and have it spit out the cure for cancer, which you could probably do in about 3 hours. I mean, at the rate information doubles for those machines, I mean, if you put a penny on a chessboard and double it every square, by the end of 64 squares, you could have over $1 million in pennies. So you can imagine information was doubling in science every year and a half about 10 years ago. So how often does the supercomputer, AI, how often does its information double? I more believe the comment that somebody made that in the Secret Space program, that if you can think of it, it's already happened or they've already discovered it. It's just that they don't want to make it available, my opinion. I'd like to now take this opportunity to thank the ET Yoga listening audience for their support over the last dozen years, and also my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique, where you place your full attention in the center of your forehead and then ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once or 10 times or whatever feels comfortable. The idea is to get to the highest place you know how to get to, doing breathing exercises, meditation, etc., etc. Get to the highest place you know how to get to. Get your full attention, center it in the focus in the center of your head, in your forehead, and become that spot. And then state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.